You are listening to the Purely Table of People podcast. I'm your host, Nebo Mahoney, and welcome to the show where we explore what really makes a chemist. Hey guys, welcome back to season 2, episode 2, and I suppose the start of our series, Women in Science. Today I am speaking with Selene Johanny, who is a QC analyst in a biopharm company here in Cork. She originally started her career during the placement of her master's in a food and beverage company, and has since transitioned to the biopharm industry. She offers great insight into what it's like to compare and contrast these two careers, and I suppose it gives you a bit more knowledge in what the day-to-day looks like in both these environments, as well as the areas of interest that she has developed. She offers fantastic tips for people who are applying to jobs and really emphasizes the need to acknowledge your own requirements and what will make you prosper before pursuing a career. It's probably the first time I've heard someone really discuss this, and I think it's such an important thing to listen to, that we're all so caught up in trying to get a job. I need a job, I need a job, I'm done, I need a job, that we don't actually stop and consider what job is correct for us, not just the one that should be done immediately. So it was really refreshing to hear this from Selene, and she also offers a myriad of tips and tricks that'll be only fantastically useful to all of the students in particular listening, and anyone who is looking to change career path in their early career stage. So I hope you enjoy this interview as much as I enjoyed my time with Selene, and thanks again for listening. We'll see you soon. Welcome to the podcast, Selene. So delighted to have you.
Thank you so much for having me, Niamh. I'm really excited to do this. I love the first season, so really looking forward to be a part of it now.
Amazing. So I suppose our first question today, or our first kind of like point you in the right direction, is if you'd like to take us through your career journey. So like school, college, your career so far.
Perfect. So I suppose I started schooling in South Africa. I'm originally from South Africa. I moved to Ireland in 2007. So I was able to finish off my kind of primary school education in Ireland before starting secondary school here. When I went into secondary school, I kind of had an idea of what I wanted to do. Ever since I was 11 years old, I wanted to be a forensic anthropologist. I was like, this is my dream job. I want to do this. I want to be like bones. What can I do to get there? So I studied history, chemistry, and biology, because I knew that those would kind of be the subjects that I'd most likely be doing in college.
Yeah.
So when I finished, I did the leaving cert, and I was looking at, you know, all the options, and I knew that I wanted to go to UCC because it was obviously close, because like I lived basically 20 minutes by train. So I was like, that'll be the best place.
Yeah.
Instead of having to travel all the way up to Maynooth to do an anthropology degree. Yes. I was like, let's just stick with Cork. And then if I like anthropology, then, you know, I can always do it as like a master's or something after. So when I started college, I went in and I did a chemical science degree. Mm-hmm. So that was the first year. Everything was very general. We're with, you know, the biochem, you know, physical chemistry. We kind of did a very general course for that one.
Yeah.
And then in second year, I specialized in chemistry with forensic science, which was like
where
the dream course. Exactly where we met. And things have, you know, they've been great ever since. it was really cool just to kind of see all the stuff, you know, that you imagine that you'd be doing and like actually seeing it in person. So things like, especially when we're doing the labs, you know, blood spatter analysis and ballistics and all that fun stuff that you only ever see it on like CSI and
completely.
And it was fascinating to see it in person, and it was just so interesting. But I think what I realized when we did our anthropology module in third year, I was like, there are a lot of bones in the human body, you know, like 206 is a lot. Like, I don't think I'm kind of cut out for this.
So, yeah, and putting together that skeleton was an interesting first step.
It was. And like, especially when they just handed you the box full of, yep, these bones, and they're like, there you go, put it together.
And don't wear gloves.
And don't wear gloves. Like, you have to feel the bones to find out if they're coarse or like smooth to determine if it's like male or female. And it was a bit much, I won't
Yeah, it was a
lie. I
lot.
kind of, and especially going to like a lab where, you know, you always have to wear gloves and have your lab coat on just to be able to pick up a random bone and be like, oh yeah, just touch that with my hand. That'll be fine. I can tell that this is a female bone. Like, it was just, yeah, it definitely wasn't what I was expecting it to be. So I definitely kind of stuck with the more analytical side. So working with, say, like the HPLCs, the GCs, that stuff really fascinated me. And I realized that, like, you can do a lot with it. Like, analytical chemistry, there's so much to it, and it's such a broad area that you can apply it to any different sector. So when we finished up the forensics degree, that's why I decided to do the master's in analytical chemistry, because I thought it would be really cool to kind of see how, analytical chemistry is applied in different industries. So I did a environmental monitoring module as part of my master's. And so kind of getting to see how they use these different techniques to kind of test water for different, impurities and checking the nitrate content and all that stuff. So it was really cool to see that side of it. I won't lie, it didn't really interest me that much to pursue a career in it, but it was really, really interesting, just to kind of see it anyway and kind of
And a good
learn.
string for your bow in the future, maybe if you did change your mind.
Exactly. At least I know I always have it under my belt, which I think is always a really good thing. So with the master's, then we did the work placement. So I went to a food and beverage company for my 6 month placement, and that's where I did my thesis. It was all on cheese, which was brilliant. I
And
was
smelly.
basically and smelly. Yeah, that was the only thing with working in a food and beverage company, is that things aren't necessarily, your white powders, your colorless solutions, and you don't have to smell anything when you're in a pharma lab or anything like that. So it was definitely a change, being able to like determine what type of milk powder you have in front of you just by looking at it and feeling it between your gloves. So it was really interesting kind of looking at it that way. And I never thought that I'd look at cheese in terms of like fat and moisture content so much in my life as I was doing my thesis. It was a lot. And when you're baking and you're making like a lasagna and you put the little bit of cheese on top and it gets that nice little burniness on top of it, I love the smell of like cooking cheese. When I was doing my thesis, because I had to basically super heat cheese to get its moisture content, the smell, it kind of put me off like melted
Oh,
cheese for a little while. I
no.
won't lie to you. There are
Melted
a
cheese is
lot of melted
the
cheese is the best cheese. But because you had to basically like super heat this to get it to the moisture content that you wanted it, or like to get the value that you wanted, yeah, you basically are just charring it. So it was just burnt. Yeah. So that was the only thing with working in the food and beverage industry, was just the amount of foods that it kind of puts you off, which could be a good thing. Like a lot of chocolate and stuff. I was like, you know what? No, thank you. But it was really interesting kind of seeing that. And I was there for a year. So I did my 6 month placement and then I stayed there for another 6 months.
Very
And then
good.
after that, I moved on to a biopharmaceutical company. So that's where I am now. I'm a QC analyst in the QC product group. So
Fantastic.
that's kind of where I am now. And yeah, it's definitely a big change from the food and beverage industry, being in a pharma company. But yeah, definitely it's a lot nicer. It doesn't smell as bad. Like everything is quite nice and clean. So yeah, so that's where I am now and I'm really enjoying it. It was definitely a big change from the food and beverage industry, purely because you go from a non-GMP to a GMP environment. So that was a bit of a steep learning curve there, but yeah, it's been really interesting so far and I'm really enjoying it. I'm coming up on 2 years working there now, so yeah, so it's been good. I'm hoping to kind
Amazing.
of stay in this area. I think pharma is kind of where I'm thriving. There's a lot more analytical chemistry in it. So yeah, I definitely think pharma is where I'll be staying for the next while, I reckon.
Brilliant. Well, I've got to say, just to anyone listening, Selene is the person, the one person in the whole world that I know who absolutely adores adores her job and genuinely gets joy out of like running samples. And I don't know anyone else who genuinely seeks and finds joy in running samples at work, but Selene does.
It's funny because when I'm in work, it's like stressful. But then I leave the day and I'm like, wow, yeah, I got to take apart that HPLC today. Like, that was pretty cool. I was like, I know it's because it wasn't working and I didn't know why it was working. But now I know how, like, what the inside of an HPLC looks like. So I think you have to find the small joys.
Yeah, to do
Otherwise,
like a challenge.
oh, definitely, definitely. I think that's what kind of keeps you going, though. Like, if you challenge yourself, I feel like you just gain so much more from it. Like, if you're put in those uncomfortable positions where you have no idea what's gone wrong and you have to try and figure it out, I think you learn so much more from that than just
Definitely.
from like reading it from a book or in your SOP. Like, hands-on experience is something that you just can't beat.
Completely.
So,
And also is mandatory and will definitely happen in your career because whenever you're
exactly.
the operator of any instrumentation, you will eventually become the expert.
See, that's the thing. And like, we have things that are called SMEs, so subject matter experts. So depending on how long you're working on a particular assay or a particular method, you'll become the subject matter expert, like the more that you troubleshoot it, and you'll become the go-to person. So like, you need to learn quick and fast if that becomes you. Like, because people are going to be asking you questions and you might have no idea, but you kind of have to just kind of pull from previous knowledge and you go, okay, I don't know exactly what's happening. But I remember this one time 6 months ago when I had something weird like this happen, and I did this to see if it would fix it. So even if you don't know all the answers, your experience will get you there, you know?
Yeah, that's really good advice. I suppose for a lot of our listeners are students or based outside of industry, so I think it'd be really great insight for them to know what your day-to-day work life looks like. So you get to work at what time and what does your day look like? Is it mainly lab? Do you have a lot of meetings? Like, are you involved in committees and extracurriculars? Like, what does it look like?
So usually when I start work, I start between about 7 and half 7, just because I like to get in early when it's nice and quiet, just so you can kind of prep for the day and nobody's around you to ask you for anything. I think that's kind of the best time to go in and kind of, so when I get in, I basically read my emails first to see if there's been anything that came through from the last week or over the weekend. And then I kind of prioritize my day that way. So if there's any kind of urgent queries, if there's any urgent testing that needs to be done, I'll always prioritize that first on my to-do list. But usually we get our schedules like a couple of days in advance. So we get them usually on like a Thursday. So we'll know then for the next week what we're doing. So you kind of go in with an idea of what testing you'll be doing, but naturally that can always change depending
Of
on,
course.
what comes in. Yeah, usually what I do is get in, check emails, I'd head up then into the lab, I get whatever samples I'm testing, get out any reference materials that I need, and then I'd issue, say, my test record, which you have to get a second analyst to review, because in a GMP environment, everything needs to be basically checked by a second analyst and signed out. Which is something that I didn't know. I didn't have that experience before. And I was like, wow, okay, I have to wait for someone to sign this out before I can use it or run anything. So it's always good to know where somebody else is whenever you want to do things. And you're kind of like, hey, do you want to sign this out for me? I can sign yours out. And it's a bit of a trade. So yeah, once in the lab as well, then I'd be doing kind of reagent prep. So if, say, I'm working on HPLC, I'd make my mobile phases, I'd install my needle and seal washes, and I'd give the system a good bit of a flush just to make sure that there's no air in it. And then I'd install my column and put on some test injections just so that I can check that the instrument is going to be okay for me to run my assay on. And then it's mainly kind of sample prep from there. So whatever your SOP tells you to do, just follow it step by step. It's quite nice. It's almost like baking.
Yeah, I was
I
gonna say
always
it's
look
like a
at it that
recipe.
way. Exactly. You just follow it step by step and you know that it's all going to come out fine, usually. There's always some mishaps along the way, but most of the time it comes out okay. So that kind of takes me up towards lunchtime. Ideally, I like to have my assays on before lunch, just because that kind of frees up my afternoon then to do any kind of admin bits, any requests that have come in. Obviously, there's some assays that, might run over lunch, but generally, I try to keep my afternoons free. In the afternoon, then I do I kind of work on some projects. I'm part of the QC safety team. So if there's been any queries that have come in, any new safety initiatives that we're working on, I kind of use that time then to kind of tip away at that and, you know, get onto EHS or send emails. So yeah, I kind of like breaking it up that way because then you're not in the lab the whole day.
Yeah.
So it doesn't feel like you're just standing and, you know, prepping things and pipetting, which can get quite tedious.
Completely.
So I quite like to kind of get that all out of the way and then have the afternoon then to kind of, you know, work away on some things at like a nice pace.
Completely. And I think that's a really good insight for people who aren't in that career space yet, that it's not actually the lab all day. Like
yes.
that, like your day has described, like to like making lists and like your own timetable. You make your own timetable, you're in early.
Absolutely.
Or you can come in that little bit later. I know a lot of people kind of start around the 8 a.m. mark in
yes.
pharma. And that like you're in the lab, but it's your own like timetable in the lab. It's not like someone saying this is the exact time you have to do it.
Exactly.
And that you also have the freedom to kind of make your career your own with like joining like the safety committee is something that's important to you. But I'm sure other people might be interested in the like EDI committee or like outreach
yes.
projects, and like that there is kind of space to explore within a career.
Definitely. And I think like there's so many different teams that are available. Like we have something like the green team, which would be for any of the environmental side
yeah,
of things.
Yeah.
You know, we have obviously the safety team for any people who are interested in health and safety. There's so many opportunities when you get into work.
Exactly.
That it's always good to kind of put your foot into some of them, you know, kind of give them a try. And if
yeah.
they don't suit, that's perfectly fine. But, you know, it's always good to sign yourself up for as much as you can handle. I think
yes.
that's the best way of doing it.
Completely. And kind of find your own feet. And
exactly.
I suppose you have mentioned that you are a QC analyst in a biopharm company.
Yes.
And within that role, just for people whenever they're kind of like applying to jobs, what are the roles and responsibilities within that role? Like what is your to-do list because you are a QC analyst?
So because I'm in the QC product team, we do the release testing for a lot of the drug products, formulated bulk drug substance or bulk drug substance that'll come in. So we're basically almost the last line of testing before
okay.
lots can be released. So whether that's released to be filled or to be packaged, we would do all of that testing, well, pretty much all of that testing, and just to make sure that everything's okay before it is sent out. But within that, it's not just kind of testing, you also do reviews then. So obviously, if somebody runs an assay, you need to have someone who's going to check over it. So we do a lot of review as well, you know, writing up any investigations if something's gone wrong, any deviations, you know, it is a lot of kind of admin stuff to it as well.
Okay.
Because naturally things are going to go wrong in a lab.
Of course.
I think if any lab has no issues or problems or, you know, assays failing, then I think there's something seriously wrong with it.
Yeah.
Just because anything can happen, like a system could get a leak and all of a sudden your system has stopped and you have to figure out where that leak is coming from.
Completely.
And that is not necessarily what you've done wrong. It's that there's an issue with your system. So there's always going to be problems, whether it's, you know, prep system, any sort of environmental issues can come up as well. So there's always going to be some problem that you'll have to sort and investigate.
Yes.
Exactly. I kind of look at it as being like a little detective, and you're trying to figure out like, okay, I have my electropherogram and for some reason there's an air spike here, but I don't see it in all the rest of the samples. Where could that have come from? Is it from the vial? Is it from the capillary? You know, you're taking your steps through and kind of playing detectives to figure out what's happened.
Yes. So see how I say Selene is the person who loves her job the most in the whole world.
Yeah, it's kind of true. but I suppose as well, we do a lot of, I suppose we call it performance verification testing as well. So if there's any new instruments that have been brought in, obviously the infrastructure team will be the one who they buy it, they get it in, they install it. They make sure that's up and running. It has a number, an item tag, all that sort of stuff. But usually it'll be an analyst who will test it and they'd run a specific assay on it to make sure that it's running correctly. You know, that, you know, your column heater is heating up the way you want it to. Your detector is picking up at the right wavelength that it should. We would do a lot of that testing as well, just so that it can be released for GMP use then into the lab. Yeah, it's mainly kind of those, and also training. You do get the opportunity to train on a lot of different assays. And even then, so training up on different systems as well. So Waters Empower is quite a big one for the HPLC testing. So we use that to kind of acquire data and then to process it as well. And then there's things like 32 karat that are used for the capillary electrophoresis system. So there is a lot of learning in it, but a lot of the learning is just through experience. So and it is kind of on you as well to make sure that you're trained fully. I think a lot of the times, it can be easy to sort of forget about training and, because you're so busy doing testing, it definitely
Completely.
is on you as well to be like, hey, look, I really want to start doing this testing. I really want to get trained on this. And even if you started to be like, hey, I actually haven't finished off that training, is it okay for me to, do it again? So that's kind of your responsibility at work, is to make sure that you're getting the most out of it.
And developing yourself.
Exactly. And like your team lead or your manager will be there to help you do that, but you have to let them know that you want to do it. So I think that's definitely like a big responsibility as an analyst or as someone who's coming in, especially if you have no experience on different systems, ask. Like if you have only ever used an HPLC, but you want to use a UPLC, and even though they're quite similar, they're still different. Like it's definitely your responsibility to ask and be like, hey, I want to get trained up on that. But I think like it's as much as doing the work that you're given, but try and get as much out of it as you can. I think that's the main thing.
Such good advice. And I suppose I know you're kind of really in the early stages of your career still,
Yes.
but I'm sure you still have a highlight of that career so far that you'd like to tell me about.
The highlight for me was it actually happened last December. We have these things at work. They're called Quality Culture Awards. And they're usually given every quarter to people in the company who've really, shown that you have good leadership skills, that they've made a contribution to the community of the company. And I was nominated and I won based on my work that I did for an audit. So a lot of the audits that you would have, particularly in pharma, you could have the HVRA, you have the ISO audits, all that sort of stuff. So I really helped a lot out. I helped out a lot for one of the safety audits that we had. Months in advance, I was organizing chemical sweeps, making sure that all the chemicals we had in the lab had safety data sheets, organizing walk downs to make sure everything was looking good. People were prepped in case they were asked questions. And because obviously people get nervous if someone stops
Of
them and is like,
course, of course.
hey, do you know where your safety data sheet is? So just kind of prepping people and letting them know it's okay. These are the answers. You can always say like, oh, I usually ask my safety rep or something like that. So prepping people as well for any questions that they might get. And it was really nice to get the award based on that, because I think it was a lot of work that was put into it. And when you're in the audit, it goes so fast and you're so stressed. And people are like, oh, well done. That was really good. But then you forget about it entirely. So it's kind of nice to be recognized for a lot of the hard work that you do. And I think a lot of the companies they're really good for supporting you and showing you that they appreciate the work that you do. So I think that was definitely the biggest highlight that I've had so far anyway from my career.
Yeah, I'm glad your initiative got rewarded.
Exactly. And that's the thing is that it's, you get as much out of it as you put in. So I think the more hard work that you put in, the more people are going to see that and recognize that, geez, wow, she's really doing a lot of work, or they've really made put that initiative forward and
Completely.
have really like driven it home. So yeah, I definitely think it's really nice. It was really, yeah, it was great.
Brilliant. And I think that's true for kind of all stages of a career. Do you know, whether it's in college, you get out what you put in.
Exactly.
And I think that's important to just follow through for the rest of your life and your career. I suppose
Definitely.
taking you away a little bit from your career, would you have any kind of tips and tricks for students, whether that's like from in college or like approaching a job, applying for a job? What tips would you have?
Definitely. I think one of the biggest things that deter students, especially from applying for positions, is the experience. Usually, a lot of companies will ask for, oh, we want at least 3 years or 5 years experience. But I mean, you've been in college for the last while. You've gained experience from college that you don't realize. So even if it's asking for 3 years experience, throw your hat into it, put your CV out there. You'll only ever be told no if you've put your CV in. Like you're never gonna know, that could be a yes. What you think is a definite no might actually be a yes. It's always good to just get your name out there. Put your CV in to as many places as you can, regardless of what experience they're looking for. Because there's sometimes where you might just get through, and it could be entirely different from your education. They could see something in your interests that they think, oh, wow, I kind of like the sound of this person. Because it's as much about your experience and your work ethic and everything as it is about you as a person and your personality. Because they're not only hiring someone to fill a role, they're hiring someone to join a team.
Completely.
And they want you to be able to kind of integrate in with the team that you're going to be put into and really contribute to the culture of the company as well. So I think it's really important that even if you're going for a job interview as well, obviously it's important to have your knowledge to back up whatever you're saying, but also to show your personality a little bit as well, because
Completely.
you're a human. They know you're human. You're not a machine. You're not just a computer that can spit out just all this information. They want you to bring a bit of personality to
Yeah,
it.
what makes you special?
Exactly. And like, are you going to be able to fit in with this team that we already have? And this team's working well. They want you to be able to join it and to do well as well. I think it's really important to, so one, put your name down for everything. Like, send your CV out as much as you can to whoever you can. And then, also remember that they're people too, and they're just looking for other people. So just be yourself whenever you're going in, and whether that's kind of cracking a few jokes that might not land, they appreciate that you're trying. I remember for my interview, I'm pretty sure I threw in three or four jokes, and no one laughed at them, but I was like, but hey, at least they know I'm trying. So definitely, I think that that's kind of the main thing to take away from it.
Yeah, and I think that's really important, especially with the kind of theme of this season of the podcast, Women in Science, is that women tend to only apply to roles they have 100% of the requirements for, whereas men tend to apply when they have 60% of the requirements. So I think that's even more important advice to our female listeners to like just put your CV in. The worst that can happen is a no. And maybe even worse that can
Definitely.
happen is they just won't reply, and then you don't even need to suffer the consequences of getting a no.
Exactly. And even it's funny, when I was applying for this position, they were asking for previous GMP experience. And now I had worked in a quality control environment in the food and beverage testing, because we were obviously the quality check, like tests for all the food and beverages that were coming in. But I had never actually been in a pharma company before. But I said, you know what? I'm gonna apply and see what happens. And I got through, and they liked what they saw. They saw that I had the experience that I gained from college, and I had all that knowledge that I could bring to them. So you're not defined by what previous work you've done as well. So it's always good to just give it a go.
And I remember, I suppose, one piece of advice that you have said before that has stuck with me is you went to an interview a few years ago and they asked you if you were open to doing shift work. And you said yes. And that always say yes. If you're committed enough to do shift work, they will see you're committed enough to their company. They might not necessarily just offer you shift work, there might be an alternative, but by showing your commitment, that was a big thing.
Because even the position that I got wasn't in shift at all. I was put on days, Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. It wasn't even, but I was entirely committed to joining the team, and I wanted to gain that experience. They saw that I had the ambition, and they saw that I just wanted to learn. So it's definitely good. So always say yes. If it's within reason, definitely say yes.
If it's within your capabilities, say yes.
Exactly.
Fantastic. And I suppose within your capabilities, maybe lead us on to our next question. What is the biggest challenge you faced thus far, and how did you overcome that?
The biggest challenge was adjusting from the food and beverage side of it to the pharma side. So I know I mentioned it before, is that you're going from a non-GMP to a GMP environment, and they are two entirely different things. There's so many different procedures, so many different hoops that you have to jump through in a GMP environment, that sometimes it seems unnecessary, the amount of stuff that you have to do, but you just have to do it because it's a regulatory requirement too. So I think that was one of the biggest things for me, was adjusting to all these new processes. It was really tough just trying to keep up and remember everything. But once you do it a few times, it becomes memory. So it's just the more that you do it, and the more you ask questions as well. Like, if you're ever unsure, it was that simple. It was as simple as just asking someone for help. So I think that was the biggest thing. I'm quite an independent person. I like to just go and do it myself, and like, oh, I'll figure it out on the way. So I suppose another challenge was just being able to, kind of put the pride aside a little and ask for help and know that you need help. you know, you can't do everything on your own, and you can't just bluff your way through, particularly in a GMP environment.
Yes.
So I think that was definitely one of the biggest challenges, was going from non-GMP to GMP.
That makes sense though, of course. And I suppose, I know I've kind of asked you tips and tricks already, but is there any kind of advice that you would give anyone who's seeking a career similar to yours?
Definitely. I think it's all about the information that you have about the job that you want. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So you really have to research the position that you're going for and see if that'll actually fit you. Because I think a lot of people know what they should be doing, but it might not be what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of people just go for jobs because, oh, I just need a job. I just need to get in.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I just need to do it and do it now. Whereas you don't. You have so much time to stop, to think, mm-hmm. to see if this company is the right fit for you, to see if the role is a good fit for you. You really have to look at not only the position, but the environment that you're going to be working in as well.
Yeah.
So I think that's the best thing you can do, is give yourself as much information, get as much information as you can, and use that to make a decision on whether you want to do it or not. Not because somebody else is telling you, oh, this will be a really good opportunity for you if you do this. You know yourself better than anyone. If you know that you're going to absolutely hate it, don't go for it. Mm-hmm. It has to be about you at the end of the day and what's going to make you happy and what you're going to enjoy.
Yeah. And also an environment you will prosper in.
Yes, absolutely.
What are your future plans? What is your dream job? Where do you see yourself in the next kind of 5 years? I'll throw them all in together.
I suppose I definitely still want to be testing. Don't know if I want to be testing as much.
Yes.
So I think it is always good to still kind of keep your technical abilities mm-hmm. fresh and sharp. But I do see myself kind of getting into more of a managerial position, you know, sometime in the future, you know, taking on that bit more responsibility, maybe, you know, being a bit more in charge of a team. I know I'm the chair of the QC safety team, and that's quite a small team, but maybe even expanding on that, you know, maybe even being in charge of a testing team, something like that.
Yeah.
I definitely want to give that a go. And I think it's really important as well for me to maybe do another master's, maybe in some sort of business or quality management, something like that, because I know for myself, I just don't have enough experience in leadership.
Yeah. Okay.
I've always been a part of a team. I have, like, you know, I've always worked well within a team. And I know obviously being on the safety team has definitely given me that bit of responsibility and I've gotten a taste for what it's like to be a leader. And I just want to hone those skills a little bit more. Mm-hmm. You know, I just want to work on those so that when an opportunity comes up where I can manage a team, that I'd be really confident that I could do it well. So yeah, I definitely see still a good bit of testing left in my future, but maybe not as much as I'm doing now.
Very good. Yes. Testing, management and education. Not a bad future plan.
I know. Yeah. taking a lot on, but I think I can do it. I think I can do it.
So my last question for you today, Selene, is what is your definition of success? And that's a mix of your career, your personal life, whatever you see as successful.
I think the main way that I kind of quantify my success is through progression.
Yep.
I think that's always a really good way of looking at it. You know, in my career, I look at that as gaining more experience, gaining more, you know, knowledge on new assays, new instruments, mm-hmm. Getting that bit more responsibility. I think it's always good to see yourself kind of progressing in terms of your skills as opposed to your position.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times when opportunities come up, you know, only one person's going to get the promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't justify or look at your success as promotions and, mm-hmm. oh, have I moved up a level? Have I gone from like analyst 2 to analyst 3? Or because that might not happen for a long time. But if you know yourself, you've accumulated knowledge throughout the years that you've been working.
Yeah.
You've gained all this experience in different techniques. I think that's a really good way of bundling your career up and seeing how successful it is. Because
mm-hmm.
even though I'm a QC analyst, like I'm still quite new to the whole pharma world, I do think that I've been quite successful in what I've done so far. So I think progression is definitely the best way to kind of look at it and sum everything up. In terms of my personal life, I kind of look at it as How many countries have I gotten to visit that year? I always think it's important to take time for yourself and to travel and experience new cultures and new foods and, maybe pick up a new skill. Like I started painting there last year, picked that up because I thought it was really relaxing. So I definitely think in terms of my personal life, it's definitely what kind of experiences I've gained as well. So yeah, definitely want to go on more holidays now that things are open and yeah, that'd be
Yeah,
great.
well, it sounds like your success in your career and your personal life mirror each other, development and new experiences.
Exactly. They complement each other for sure.
Yes, they definitely do. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Celine. It was great to have you, and I'm sure our listeners have gotten a wealth of advice from you. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me as well. This was really, really good. And yeah, I hope everyone enjoys.
Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on all your favorite podcasting platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'd like to thank the Royal Society of Chemistry Outreach Fund for their support and funding for this podcast, as well as the School of Chemistry in UCC for their encouragement, involvement, and support. Please reach out to us on Instagram, Twitter, or wherever you use your social media platforms and give us any feedback or comments you would like to develop the podcast with us. We're really here to serve you, so we really look forward to that feedback. Apple Podcasts seems to be the best way to help a podcast out at the moment, so any ratings and reviews on there will be hugely appreciated, guys. Until next time.